to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today we begin an in-depth look at artificial intelligence and its biblical ramifications with Billy Crone. And a little later, Pastor Larry Spargimino will bring some much-needed encouragement from God's Word. We'll be offering Billy Crone's new book and DVD series today. You will definitely want to get these resources for you, your church, and your friends and family. The topic covered today is of great importance to many, and these books and DVDs are needed now more than ever. Friends, we appreciate you spending part of your day with us as we once again proclaim that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. These truths are needed now more than ever.
Daniel 12:4 reads, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." The Bible teaches that at the end of the age, right before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be an explosion in knowledge. Are we living in that time? I'm so excited today to have Pastor Billy Crone with us. He is certainly no stranger to our program, having been on many times before. Billy is the senior pastor of Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. He is also the founder of Get a Life Ministries. Today, he's here to talk about his latest book and DVD set in his series, The Final Countdown, Tribulation Rising, called The AI Invasion. Welcome, Pastor Billy. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Pastor James. It's always great to be on.
Well, Pastor Billy, was artificial intelligence, was AI prophesied to emerge across this planet 2,600 years ago?
I believe so, and I think anybody that reads the Bible can come to that easy summation, because that's exactly what Daniel chapter 12 talks about, not just a traveling to and fro, and the context there is global, but an increase, literally in the Hebrew, a multiplication of knowledge. And Pastor James, that's exactly what we're seeing. We are completely immersed in knowledge today. We take it for granted, but we're also dependent upon it, and it's not just all over the place. It's growing, and it's multiplying at an exponential rate, exactly like God said would happen, as a sign that you're living in the last days. Basically, it's been coined into a phrase now called artificial intelligence. The concern that I have is, of course, the context there in Daniel is signs that you're in the last days. What's going to happen in the last days? Well, the rapture of the church takes place prior to the seven-year tribulation. Then here comes the seven-year tribulation, which Jesus said is the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God shortened the time frame, the entire human race be destroyed. That's the last days, right? So a sign you're getting close to that event, and you want to make sure that you leave in the rapture, and that only happens when you're a true born-again Christian, then you better pay attention. And AI, believe it or not, is one of those huge mega signs. And what's interesting, again, it's the book of Daniel. Revelation was written about 2,000 years ago, 95, 96 AD. Daniel about 2,600 years ago. And Pastor, we are seeing this happen on a massive scale. We entitle our studies not just, you know, the AI, artificial intelligence. It's called the AI invasion, right? And it is leading towards the last day society that you don't want to have anything to do with. And again, praise God, there's a way out through Jesus. But it's called the AI invasion because it's invading every sector of society. I've said this on some other occasions, and I don't think this is too obtuse of a statement, but I believe that based on the investigation, the scriptural study, that artificial intelligence, the rise of artificial intelligence, believe it or not, is just as a prophetic sign from God that we're in the last days, just as the sign when Israel became a nation again in 1948. And the reason why I say that is we all know that May 14th, 1948, when Israel became a nation, that was a prophetic watershed moment. And the reason why is because the Bible's very clear that you cannot have a seven-year tribulation until you have the Jewish people come back on the planet and be a nation, because they are the major piece of the events of the seven-year tribulation. They're the one who makes the deal with the Antichrist, Daniel 9:27, that starts the seven-year tribulation. They're the one who rebuilds the Jewish temple that the Antichrist goes in halfway into the seven-year tribulation and commits the abomination of desolation. So you can't have a seven-year tribulation until the Jewish people are back on the scene. Well, guess what? They are 1948. That's why it's a big one. I said all that to get to this. AI is just a big of an event, because when you take a look at the other events in the seven-year tribulation that the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to do on a global scale, you have to have something superhuman. Let me explain that. For instance, Revelation 13 says that you're going to have a system where basically the Antichrist and the false prophet is going to know what people all over the world are saying and doing. In fact, including when an order goes out across the planet, you need to worship the Antichrist, they will know. They will know instantly whether or not you said yes or no or get out of my face or whatever. And so think about that. That's a massive big brother system on the planet. The Bible also says that they're going to institute a economic system, a cashless society that's tied around the whole planet to where these two guys will literally control all the buying and selling on the planet. Now think about those two things, basically a big, giant, global big brother system that micromanages the planet, all conversations, activity, locations, you name it, and then a global economic cashless society system that ties every product, every person together, controlled by some sort of a matrix. Now, we do have the computer technology for that, but here's the problem. You can't hire enough humans to do that. There's not enough humans on the planet. It's just not feasible. You got the computer technology, but can't hire enough people to manage the back end to monitor the planet on that kind of a scale. Guess what? AI. AI, for the first time in the history of mankind, gives us the ability to micromanage the planet in a big brother fashion, also economically, to control all the buying and selling for the first time in the history of mankind. That's why I say the rise of AI truly is one of the biggest prophecy signs since Israel became a nation in 1948.
The Antichrist, you're saying, should be able to just rise to power and use the AI that is already in place.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what people don't realize, Pastor James, is AI is not coming. AI is already here. AI is already here in a multitude of forms. And AI is on a scale that we can't even believe of. The first part of our study, we deal with just what's called the race for AI. And we expose how not only the history of it, but right now today, it's already here in a multitude of entities. Right? It isn't just the militaries around the world, that's a whole other topic, that are spending billions, not millions, billions of dollars trying to beat other countries around the world to have the biggest, baddest AI to control all their military equipment, which, by the way, is the Terminator movie Skynet scenario, except it's not a movie anymore, it's our reality. But we also have huge global corporations that are not producing, they already have produced, and are already using AI to run their systems that we're dependent upon. And we're talking about some of the biggest corporations on the planet. IBM, Google, Amazon, Facebook, Apple, you name it. All these guys already have AI. And they're using AI to permeate every aspect of our culture. Let me give you a term that the industry is using to describe this invasion, what we call the AI invasion. They're calling AI the new electricity. And what they mean by that is just as back at the turn of the last century when electricity first started coming out, it was kind of a cool thing. It was a buzzword. You know, people were talking about, ooh, hey, did you hear about electricity? It's going to revolutionize everything. And then after a while, you know, the conversation died down, but electricity didn't go away. What happened? It began to slowly permeate every aspect of society to the point where, think about it, today we are 100% dependent upon electricity to run our very life. The whole system, even global system, runs on electricity, right? So whoever controls electricity controls a lot of what goes on the planet. This is what they're saying is not coming, but it's already happening with AI. AI is the new electricity. Right now, AI, people go, oh, yeah, AI, I saw some, you know, science fiction movies about that. I heard about that in school, or once in a while they do a program on the TV about it, and it's kind of cool, it's kind of eclectic. But even after the conversation long dies down, AI is not going to go away either. AI is going behind the scenes, and it's the new electricity, and it's running everything on a global scale that we can think of. And this is what we cover in our study. We certainly deal with the definition, the types, and history of AI, and the makers of AI. But we go into, okay, where is it permeating? It's controlling, not coming, it's already controlling the businesses around the world, the finances around the world. It's controlling people's homes with what's called smart homes. It's controlling cities with what's called smart cities. It's controlling the shopping, the buying of food and retail. We're getting used to having robots do everything for us, which is a major danger. What if they decide to go rogue? You're in trouble. It's controlling our entertainment. It's controlling movies and art. It's even controlling the news. Most people don't realize this, Pastor James, but much of what you see in the news and news articles, it's being generated by AI, not humans. The media is controlling gaming, agriculture, right? There's people lately going like, why is Bill Gates buying up all the farmland? Because he who controls the food controls the world. That's a long standard out there. But AI is automating all that. It's controlling the communication, the education, the medical. We had 4 hours, 4 different studies just on the medical, because AI is not only controlling it, but that's going to be some serious leverage over people, right? You don't do what somebody says, well, you ain't going to get treated. and that's already being put into place. Transportation, police, military, religion, you name it, we cover the gamut. AI is the new electricity. It's invading every sector of society just in time, unfortunately, for the events of the seven-year tribulation.
You mentioned Skynet from the Terminator movie, and you talk about singularity in your book. What is singularity?
Singularity, and again, this is not my term. This is the term of those in the industry. They not only admit that AI is already here in a multitude of formats for a multitude of unfortunate purposes, but they say there's a danger, and that's their term, singularity. Singularity, they say, is eclipsing points where this information that we're seeing explode. They call it the information tsunami. It's growing so fast that it begins to not only match the human brain, which is the goal of AI to create what's called an electronic brain. But singularity is the point where that AI brain not only surpasses human intelligence, but then that AI intelligence begins to improve on that version of its intelligence. And then that version of its intelligence, the upgraded one, then improves on itself again, and then again, and then again, and then it starts to go exponentially out of control, where they say, their words, not mine, the entire human race is done. AI and robots will take over the planet. It sounds like a crazy science fiction movie, but this is what they're saying is coming. Now, what's interesting is, guess what? The Bible talked about singularity. It's just God used different words. He said, when you see this massive, multiplying, exponentially, out of control information coming across the planet, it's a sign you're in the last days. God just calls it last days, or the end of time, the book of Daniel says. They call it singularity, but Pastor, it's the exact same thing.
The book of Revelation describes the false prophet being able to give life to the image of the beast. Do you believe the Antichrist, the false prophet, will use AI in that future tribulation period, especially in that scenario, to give life to that image?
Absolutely. In fact, we have two sections just on how, quote, religion is changing as a result of AI. And when you go into that text, and it not only talks about how the false prophet and the Antichrist, they not only micromanage the planet with Big Brother system, and they not only control all the economic system with the buying and selling with the mark on the right hand and the forehead, but it clearly says that orders are given to worship the image of the beast or the Antichrist. And when you take, you go to image, and it's not just an image, it says that image is extremely lifelike. And it even has the power, the image of the Antichrist has the power to speak and cause, to give orders, not just speak, but to give orders, that anybody who doesn't do what they're told to do, i.e. worship the beast, the image, you're going to die. Now, that sounds crazy, but that's what the text really says. But here, if you understand just how far AI, folks, isn't just something that's inside a machine that's just a bunch of binary codes flipping through, like, you know, that scene in the Matrix, and it's got all these symbols going up and down. But AI, they're already popping AI into robots. They're already doing AI into chatbots. But we expose just how lifelike they can make AI images, not just robots. That could be one option. But also, when it comes to the imagery with the AI, they give AI an image. And we expose this, and it is so lifelike, Pastor. First of all, they could make it into any image they want. And it could be a baby. In fact, that's the example we give. They were interviewing the, quote, AI baby. It's about a two-year-old toddler image. Or it could be an adult. It could be a man. It could be a woman. It could be anybody of any race. And then it's not just that. It's so lifelike that you could actually see the pores on the skin. The resolution is incredible. This is so lifelike. And not only that, but these AI images that they are creating, they are actually communicating back in real time without prescriptive responses. And that's what we show. The developer of this AI baby not only looks like a real, like, 2-3-year-old toddler, but he says, go ahead and get the baby's attention, right? And so he waves at the screen at the AI baby, and the AI baby literally acknowledges that, looks at him, turns his way, because he's waving at him, in real time. But then he says, now communicate with him and test him. And so what he does is he holds up a picture book, and the first one is a picture of an apple. And so he holds it up to the screen, right, to the AI baby, and he says, hi, AI baby, hey, what's this a picture of? And the AI baby looks at it from inside the computer, and it says apple. And then he holds up another one. It was a picture of a dog. And so he holds it up, and he says, what's this one, AI baby? He says, puppy. This is happening in real time. It's not scripted. People have no idea how far advanced this is. And again, well, that's kind of cool. That's kind of weird. But what's the text says? 2,000 years ago, you got to imagine the Apostle John. He must have been blown away. How am I going to describe this? He's writing this down by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But there's going to be an image of an Antichrist figure that's going to go across the globe. It's going to be able to speak. It's going to be able to give orders. And people are going to actually interact with it, even to the point where they're going to worship it. Folks, that technology is not coming. It's already here. And it could be customized into any image you want, including the Antichrist.
So we're living in that age of Big Brother, and the world of the Antichrist that the Bible describes is really here. The technology is already in place, and the signs are being set for the soon return of Jesus Christ. This is such an exciting topic, fascinating topic, that we're going to have Pastor Billy Crone back with us tomorrow. Thank you so much, Pastor Billy. Thanks for being on with me today.
Hey, thank you, Pastor James. It's great to always be on your show.
Billy Crone will return tomorrow with more insight into the AI invasion. We have available today Billy Crone's explosive new series, The Final Countdown, Tribulation Rising, The AI Invasion. This two-volume book set with DVDs is a must to fully understand how artificial intelligence is the very tool the Antichrist needs to pull off his wicked deeds. It's time we get equipped with the truth and warn as many as we can to flee from the global nightmare that is coming soon by receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior today. One set of AI Invasion books can be yours for a gift of $40 or more. And the set of AI Invasion DVDs can also be yours for your gift of $45 or more. Combine both the books and DVDs for a gift of $80 or more to the ministry. Get your set of the AI Invasion by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order your DVDs and books by logging on to swrc.com. That's swrc.com and order your books and DVD set today. The Final Countdown, Tribulation Rising, The AI Invasion, books and DVDs from Billy Crone are available right now. Call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or visit online, swrc.com. Pastor Larry Spargimino comes now to share this powerful thought with us on the peace of perspective.
The ways of God are sometimes strange and perplexing. We wonder why something has happened the way it happened. We think, Lord, why? And sometimes we're very unhappy, even with the Lord. But if we can develop the right perspective, if we can see things the way God sees things, we would avoid much sadness and grief in our Christian life. When we have the right perspective, we can have peace, peace in the most difficult and perplexing of circumstances. The story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus and Jesus' handling of the situation is a good example of the need for having God's perspective. In John 11, verse 3, the sisters say to Jesus, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. We see that people whom Jesus loves sometimes get sick. We have to be very careful of health and wealth theology. That school of ministry makes a lot of claims that are not backed up by the Word of God. Sometimes God does not always answer our prayers the way we want. And the reason for that is that He knows what we need better than we know. It even happened to the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He asked the Lord to remove that problem 3 times. He was urgent and insistent. It was a real problem, but God did not remove the problem. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 23, Timothy had some health issues. Paul tells him to use a little wine. The key word, of course, is little. Paul does not say, you do not have enough faith. That's why you have stomach problems. In Philippians 2, 25 and 26, we read of Epaphroditus, who had been very sick and almost died. But now he was better, and Paul was sending him to the church at Philippi. God's servants sometimes get sick. Sometimes their prayers are not answered the way they want. Jesus knew Lazarus and his family very well. There were times when the family invited him to their home. It was a home that was warm with love and caring. The fact that Mary and Martha sent for Jesus to come as soon as Lazarus became ill is evidence that they knew Jesus personally and believed that Jesus had power to heal Lazarus. They also expected Jesus to come right away and heal Lazarus. After all, he was their friend. But Jesus did not come immediately. Verse 6 says, "When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Mary and Martha were very unhappy with Jesus. He delayed 2 days. Lazarus died before Jesus got there. The sisters were unhappy. In verse 32 we read, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." I can understand how the sisters felt. They evidently knew where Jesus was at the time. They knew where to find him. So they waited, and they waited some more. As they waited, their brother grew weaker and weaker and died. The sisters felt that hollow, empty feeling that accompanies the death of a loved one, and they were helpless to do anything. If only Jesus had responded. If only he had come quickly, they could still talk to their brother and laugh with him. But now he was cold and very dead. They did not have peace. Why was that? Because they did not have the Lord's perspective. There is peace in perspective. Perspective describes where you are when you see something. For example, if you're walking down a dirt road and meet a hungry lion, you would be frightened. But if you were looking at a movie, and in the movie a man meets a hungry lion, you would not be very frightened. Your perspective is very different. That's not your problem. You are not in the picture. You are safe in front of your TV screen. So let's ask the question, why did Jesus delay coming? Was he lazy and uncaring? Was he really not that person of grace and compassion that people thought he was? Not at all. Jesus had a definite purpose in not coming immediately. What Jesus had in mind was so incredible that he could say in verse 15, "I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe." The lesson he was going to teach was far more wonderful than healing Lazarus. Though Jesus' delay was causing grief for Mary and Martha, we need to remember that what Jesus was doing was for their good. We get a hint of that in verse 4. "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Mary and Martha did not understand that at the moment, but their grief was something they had to experience. Jesus was going to use the death of Lazarus to teach a very, very important truth. Jesus is victorious over death. That was the lesson. And in order for that to happen, Lazarus had to die. Jesus must not come, as Mary and Martha fervently desired, to heal their brother. As I study this story, I believe this is the reason why Jesus wept, as we see in verse 35. Jesus wept, the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept because he knew he had disappointed his dear friends. They expected him to come and heal Lazarus, but he didn't. He knew the sisters felt their friendship with Jesus had been betrayed. Trust between friends is precious. Friends never betray that trust. But Jesus did for a higher reason. It caused him great pain, and he wept. Jesus did not want to be known simply as a healer. Jesus wanted to do more than heal. He wanted to bring life to a dead man. Lazarus had to die before he could be raised from the dead. Everyone had to be sure that Lazarus was dead. Lazarus had to be dead 4 days. The ancients believed that the soul remained near the body for 3 days. They had seen people who had, quote, died, actually come back to life. Why? They gave the explanation that the soul was still in the vicinity of the body. But after 3 days, the soul would depart. So in order to make sure that everyone knew that Lazarus was really dead, Jesus waited 4 days. His body was already decomposing. It was a revolting situation. In verse 39 we read, "Jesus said, Take ye away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days." There are a couple of lessons we can learn from this story. First of all, God loves his people and will always bless his people, but not always immediately. We have all noticed, I'm sure, that God's timetable is not necessarily man's timetable. God does not keep time the way we do. He is not bound by time like we are. 2 Peter 3 verse 8 says, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." That is telling us that God is timeless. He is above time and not bound by time. There is a second lesson that we can learn from this passage. When suffering, remember God's plan and God's perspective. Mary and Martha were troubled. They were upset with Jesus. From their limited perspective, Jesus looked like he didn't care about their deed. He didn't care that Lazarus was sick. Lazarus died because Jesus did nothing. Now, of course, that's not really what happened, as we know. A third lesson, when suffering, remember that Jesus experiences and knows your pain and your suffering. Remember, the scripture says that he wept. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a loving Heavenly Father? Even when we don't understand, we don't see clearly, God is working his perfect will in your life and in my life.
Pastor Larry, along with Billy Crone, Todd Friel, Bill Federer, and others will be presenting at our virtual Summer Prophecy Conference. This special event will take place completely online, and each of the sessions will be available on demand to watch as many times as you want from July 30th through August the 7th. Get your all-access pass by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can get your pass online at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. When you order your all-access pass for the virtual online conference, there are special add-ons that are also available. A DVD of the complete conference, and a book from one of our speakers. Check out these special add-ons when you register for the online conference. Register today by visiting swrc.com. That's swrc.com, or by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. When you're on our website, be sure to check out the complete list of conferences we have planned for this year. We have conferences planned in Denver, Columbus, Las Vegas, and of course, as we just talked about, online. There are wonderful resources on our website as well, books and DVDs that can help you, your family, and your church. Check it all out online at swrc.com. If you're a new listener to Watchmen on the Wall, make sure you request your new listener pack. In this packet, you'll find a special welcome letter from our president, Dr. Kenneth Hill, information about the ministry, and a free book. It's our way of saying thank you for being a new listener here at Southwest Radio Ministries. To request your new listener pack, which is absolutely free, call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. And request your new listener pack today. It's called The End of Times for a reason. Tomorrow, Billy Crone returns to give us more insight into the coming AI invasion. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.